You are listening to Radio Aryan.
Hello and welcome to Aryan Britannia. Today's date is Monday the 17th of June 2019 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, broadcasting at RadioAryan.com. Well, I'm afraid I haven't got my co-host here with me this week, Max Mussum. So we will be having a music break halfway through and you've just got my sweet self speaking to you today. Now, we haven't really got a lot of news from last week that we can get into. There's just not a lot of interesting stuff that's happening in Britain at the moment. Mainly, it's all to do with the Conservative Party leadership race. They've got through the first half of that. Boris Johnson is right up front there in the lead. Jeremy Hunt is still in there. Rory Stewart is still in there. Surprisingly, that really does surprise me. Boris Johnson is going to take part in the debates. There was a worry that he wasn't going to do that. I'm sort of coming around to Boris Johnson because if he does get in as Prime Minister, then the likelihood is that we will have Jacob Rees-Mogg in an important position, and he could do a lot of good as Home Secretary. You think the last two Home Secretaries have been Amber Rudd, Theresa May, and now actually we've got Sajid Javid, this Pakistani son of a bus driver, who is our Home Secretary. We definitely need a good Home Secretary to protect the borders, and I think Jacob Rees-Mogg would be a perfect pick for that. Of course, there are a couple of others, but I think he's really the standout guy. I mean, he's the person that you want to see being interviewed by the journalists. So I'm sort of coming around to Boris Johnson, and the Muslims really, really hate him. I've got a quote here from the Conservative Muslim Forum. They've actually been comparing Boris Johnson to Adolf Hitler, if you can believe that. The chairman of the Conservative Muslim Forum has vowed to quit the Tories if the front runner becomes the party's next leader. Mohammed Amin, a Tory party member for 36 years, said the former foreign secretary was a buffoon who was not sufficiently moral to be prime minister. He claimed that while Mr. Johnson was popular with MPs and Tory members, popularity is not the test. And he added, a lot of Germans thought that Hitler was the right man for them. So once again, we've seen this exaggeration, and just like with Donald Trump, when they were calling him the new Hitler, they're now calling Boris Johnson the new Hitler. And anybody that the Muslims and the left think is Adolf Hitler, I'd like to see more of them. I'd like to see more of them in the media. Really, this is just because Boris Johnson made a joke about Muslim women in their burqas looking like letterboxes. I mean, it's quite an inoffensive joke that he made. Of course, he was investigated for that. So he is the front runner. And I do like Dominic Raab. He's said a lot of good things. But I don't think he's just not as popular as Boris Johnson. So unless the Conservative Party themselves stitch us up, which they could do, I mean, they could pick two Remainers and not pick Boris Johnson, so that when it comes down to the two people to be elected that are actually put to the Conservative Party members, they may just give them two Remainers. Hopefully they won't do that, because there's a lot of pressure on them to actually honour their promise and take us out of the European Union in October. But it remains to be seen. The actual Conservative Party members themselves, they are 97% white. 97% white. So why are they even bothered by the chairman of the Conservative Muslim Forum? Why do they have any non-whites in the Conservative Party when 97% of their membership is white? Don't they want to please white people? It's like the Republican Party in America. All their supporters are white, and yet they keep bending over backwards to try and appeal to non-whites who are never going to vote for them. And it's the same thing with the Conservative Party, and they put forward their token black members, and there's no hope in it. They haven't got any hope in hell of actually getting support from these non-whites. Rory Stewart himself, that I've mentioned a few times, he was on Andrew Marr yesterday. I mean, the man has a mouth like a chimpanzee. I'm not sure if anybody else has noticed. Just look at his mouth and think, what does that remind you of? Just like a chimpanzee, the guy is so odd looking. And he's such a toff. He's actually made his way across Afghanistan. I was reading the other day in one of the newspapers, and he was sort of, he did actually do it backpacking, but he ended up at where the journalists were, sort of begging for money, and he was sort of all dressed up as if he was one of these jihadis. And he was begging for money and saying, oh, it's okay, mummy will pay you back, just give me your bank account. And he really is the perfect description of a mummy's boy. And Andrew Marr was interviewing him on Sunday, and I couldn't believe the first thing that he said to him was, and this is Andrew Marr talking to Rory Stewart, both you and Boris Johnson were educated at Eton and both went to Balliol College. Wouldn't the country be better off with the son of a Pakistani bus driver as Prime Minister? And he wasn't saying that as a joke. He was saying that seriously, referring to Sajid Javid there, that wouldn't the country be better off? And this is insane. Why would you not want the most intelligent people with the highest IQ that have been to the best school, that have been to the best college? Why on earth would you think that somebody who is the son of a Pakistani bus driver would be a better choice to have in the most important role in the government? It's absolutely ludicrous. And nobody seems to be pointing this out. And Andrew Marr thought this was a sensible thing to start this interview off with. And he just points out this total lunacy that is the equality agenda of trying to say that diversity is a strength and we should be raising up those who are unfit to pedestals and ignoring those who are fit and who are mentally fit and who are capable of doing the job. It's just insane. I think Sajid Javid is going to get knocked out. I mean, besides him being a Pakistani, he's just very, very wooden. The guy has got no character at all. I heard him talking the other day, and he was talking about how when he was a kid, people would point out the fact that he was a half-caste because one of his parents was Pakistani and the other one was white. And when he was a kid, he said, I wouldn't wish that on any children. I'm not going to have any half-caste children. Of course, he ignored that, got himself a white girlfriend and a white wife, and he produced half-caste children. And then he sort of proudly said, and they're not half-caste, they're British. Well, you can call them whatever you like, but they're still mixed race. You know, you can call them after the wherever it is that they were born, but they're still going to be mixed race, and their loyalties are going to be to Pakistan. Because they're not British, they're not white, they're not part of the white family, they're part of another family, and that's where their loyalties are going to be. This idea that a person's loyalty is to the country that they are born in and not actually to their family is insulting. It's insulting to think that Pakistanis and Africans that are in Britain, that to expect them to have loyalty to the British country over and above the loyalty that they have to their own flesh and blood. I mean, that's what a nation is. Essentially, a nation all comes originally from the same pair of parents. If you don't share the same pair of parents, then you're not a part of that nation. You're mixed race. You don't actually have a race. You don't actually have a nation. You don't actually have any heritage. You don't have anyone in your ancestry that looks like you. You don't have anyone that you can have donated organs from, particularly not bone marrow donors, notoriously difficult to match. You certainly aren't going to be able to get a bone marrow donor from if you're mixed race, because your genetics is going to be so different to everybody else. And the different races have different blood types. You can pretty much tell what race a person is by looking at the blood type. And you can't just swap organs around from whites into blacks and blacks into whites. This is why they are constantly asking for more blacks to donate blood and to donate organs, because you can't just chop and change with these organs around humanity. And that's what he's done to those children. He thinks that they can just brainwash people into not seeing the fact that his children have got brown skin. They have. They've got brown skin. They've got brown brains. They've got brown bone structure. And their loyalty is going to be to their Pakistani relatives. That's all there is to it. And him to think that it's brave and clever to say that they're not half caste, they're British, it's madness. And he's only saying it because he knows that he's going to get a cheer for that. He's going to get a pat on the back. They're going to think, what a clever so-and-so he is for saying they're not half-caste anymore. Very politically correct. What a great virtue signaller he is. Well, I think he's going to get knocked out in the next round, basically. Getting back to Rory Stewart, he was asked what his Brexit solution was going to be. And again, this is something that I just couldn't believe when I heard it. He said, well, we'll have a citizens' assembly, and we'll put it to a citizens' assembly of how they think we should have Brexit. And if they don't come up with the answer that we want, well, Parliament is sovereign, so we can just ignore it anyway. That is literally what he said. Parliament is sovereign, so we can just ignore what the citizens' assembly come up with. And his plan is to put Theresa May's deal back through Parliament again. And he's also been standing up and saying if Boris Johnson gets in there and prorogues Parliament and prevents it from sitting, because he knows that they'll try and put a block on leaving with no deal, then Rory Stewart will open up a Parliament somewhere else in order to sabotage it. So he's basically standing on a platform of sabotaging his own government. He's so desperate to stay within the EU. And as I've said before, the man looks like he's never done a day's work in his life. He's always been involved in foreign aid, basically. I think he wants to double the amount of foreign aid that Britain is paying out. So he's the perfect candidate, really, for Theresa May and Amber Rudd. And Theresa May's been getting together with Amber Rudd, actually, and saying that if Boris Johnson tries to take us out with a no-deal Brexit, then she's going to be working to stop that, basically. She's basically come out with her true colours of being a Remainer. And she voted for Rory Stewart in this recent first round of the leadership elections that are only open to the government, basically. Jeremy Hunt, he's been in the news as well, and he's been parading around his wife, who happens to be Chinese. So, of course, his loyalty isn't to the British people either, is it? His loyalty is to the Chinese. I mean, what kind of a traitor is he? Are the British women not good enough for Jeremy Hunt? Not good enough for him? He prefers the Chinese? I mean, that shows that he's got some kind of a bizarre fetish, really, that he finds Chinese people attractive. He's not somebody that you're going to want running the country. He did a really bad job of running the NHS. People were particularly furious at him for that, and not giving them a pay rise. And look what they've done to the NHS. They've just pumped it full of incompetent foreigners. They were even trying to say the other day on the news that it must be racism, because more foreign people get reported for incompetence at the NHS, and more foreigners get struck off than white people. So it must be racism. No, it's not racism. It's incompetence on their part, because they have a lower IQ, because the universities that they study in that are abroad do not have the same high standards as the white universities. And Jeremy Hunt is responsible for a lot of that. He's responsible for importing these foreign doctors and these foreign nurses and refusing to train our own white British people to look after us. I mean, we've all seen these horror stories of elderly whites that are being looked after by Africans, particularly Jamaicans, who take the chance to carry out a vicious revenge against these old white people just because they're white and just because they can, because they've got this chip on their shoulder. They've been told that the only reason they're not as successful as whites is because Whitey has been racist against them. So they take the chance, any chance that they get, to get their own back on the white man. Horrific injuries I've seen caused by these black nurses. If we really want to look after the NHS, which has massive, great, long waiting lists for surgery and for operations, the best way to look after it is to just start deporting the people that shouldn't be here. Deport the criminals. Stop anybody else from coming into the country. That's what is slowing down the NHS. Once you have it so that only the descendants of the people that built the NHS are entitled to go there, that would get rid of all these waiting lists, and you wouldn't need so many people, and you could have just white people working there, and you could have the very best doctors. The only reason they need to get more people working at the NHS is because they keep importing more people into the country. White people are not reproducing enough to replicate ourselves. So that tells you that if we didn't have all these foreigners here, we would need a lot less staff in the NHS. The fact that we're not reproducing enough to replicate ourselves also means that every new house that they build is for a foreigner. It's not built for a white man, because there are already enough houses in the country for all the white people. There's a surplus of houses in the country for all the white people. So all the greenbelt land that's going to need to be built over and tarmacked over and concreted over, it's all just for the foreigners. People like Jeremy Hunt, who goes and marries himself a Chinese wife, he's the sort of person that is just going to increase that. A lot of them have actually got foreign wives. Amber Rudd, she's got a black boyfriend. Who else have we got there? Jeremy Corbyn, obviously he had Diane Abbott in the 70s. Vince Cable from the Liberal Democrats, I think he's got a non-white wife. There's quite a lot of them that like to parade their treason around as if it's a really good thing that they're doing. So we'll be keeping an eye on what happens, as I say, with this Conservative leadership contest. I think they've got the debate on Tuesday. And I think I'm right in saying this, that we are supposed to be given the choice of the final two by the 22nd of July. So we should have a new Prime Minister by the 22nd of July. And of course, we're supposed to be out of the European Union October the 29th, I think it is. Maybe Halloween, maybe October the 31st. But it's the end of October anyway that we are supposed to be out of the EU. And one of the ways that they can do that is just to keep Parliament from actually coming back, because it breaks for its holiday at some point soon, I think the end of July. And they don't usually come back until October anyway. So what they could do is say, well, don't come back until November the 1st. And of course, by November the 1st, we will have automatically left. We should have left already. That's what is written into law. The law stated in that Article 50, that if we had not left by, what was it, May, I think it was, if we didn't have a deal by May, then the default position was that we left without a deal. And they haven't written a new law to counteract that. I mean, once you make a law, you can't undo it. You can make another law to sort of divert things, but you can't actually undo it, because it's a law that's been made. And it hasn't been followed through. There are people, the leader of the English Democrats, I think his name is Robin Tilbrook, he's taken this to court. He's made a request that this be expedited and that this be heard in the courts, that what the government have done is illegal. And they're just prevaricating. They haven't expedited it. They know how important it is, and they're just not dealing with it. And you can compare that to when we first voted for Brexit anyway, and that black businesswoman went to the courts and said, well, we can't have the government just do this. It needs to be seen by Parliament and voted on. which is actually the reason why we've had all these problems with Brexit, is because we've got this Remainer Parliament, and they've used these indicative votes and all these other ways to sort of scupper it. But that was that that hearing happened straight away. That was done straight away as soon as Theresa May was in office, and yet they've done all this prevaricating about hearing Robin Tilbrook's case, probably because they know that that's the truth. That is the true situation. And who's going to enforce the law when the government themselves are breaking it, and nobody in the government is pointing it out? Nobody in the EU is pointing it out. So whoever comes into office, I mean, they could effectively say, well, we have already left. That's the position in law. And to stop the government from putting a stop to it, we're just going to have the government parliament not meet again until November the 1st. So that is another option. But I guess we'll hear what Boris Johnson's plans are when he has this debate on Tuesday. Well, we also had more double standards being displayed last week with jokes and what's funny and what isn't. We have a really fat, obnoxious, feminist, so-called comedienne over here in Britain. Her name is Jo Brand. Really revolting woman. An absolute dyed-in-the-wool communist Marxist. And, of course, she was on what the BBC like to think is their alternative comedy programme called Heresy, I think it is. Of course, it's all just filled with lefties, because that's all the BBC is. They still think that left-wing is alternative. And she was on there, and she was asked about the milkshake throwing. Of course, the milkshake throwing, Tommy Robinson was hit quite a few times, Nigel Farage has been hit, an elderly Brexit supporter has been hit, an elderly Donald Trump supporter has been hit. The government themselves have been joking about this. Burger King said that they would have milkshakes on sale. A beer bottling company said, why not throw one of these bottles of beer while it's still in the bottle? All of this going on, of course, while the government is saying, oh, how terrible it is that we are getting these mean tweets from our constituents, and it's intimidating us, and we're frightened to go out campaigning, and there needs to be a law against it. But it's quite fine for people to attack people on the right. It's quite fine to attack the opposition. So, of course, they were saying all of that. So Jo Brand, she thinks she's completely within her rights to suggest that it would have been much better if people threw battery acid at Brexiteers instead of milkshake. And the audience thought that was hilarious, and the BBC thought that was absolutely fine to put out on their comedy programme. The police were called. The police were supposed to be investigating it for incitement to violence. And they've decided they're not going to press charges. The BBC have decided that they're not going to drop a contract. And of course, you can compare this to, I forget his name, this not a very well-known comedian with the BBC who put a picture out of two people holding hands with a chimpanzee and said, look, it's the new royal baby. You can compare the response to that. I mean, Danny Baker, that was his name. When he put that picture out, it was all over the papers. What a nasty, racist, hater the man is. And it was said quite innocently. He really didn't put two and two together and think, well, she's mixed race, and some people call mixed race people monkeys. He hadn't actually worked that out. It was quite innocent. And yet he was hounded out of his job. He wasn't inciting violence. He wasn't intending to say anything mean with that. And you've got Jo Brand, who... That could be construed as inciting violence, saying she's very, very hateful against people on the right. And would she be... She certainly wasn't condemning people throwing milkshakes, and she thinks that it's a joke to say, well, why don't you throw battery acid next time? And of course, these things do escalate. They start with people throwing objects, and then if they can get close enough to you, then they'll hit you with something. They'll batter you with something. You know, you think of the amount of times that Tommy Robinson has been attacked by mobs of Antifa. So I can recall seeing a video where there were five or six of them going after him when he came out of a supermarket. and that will be cheered on by the left. There's no mention of the fact that this could escalate. They just cheer it on. And Jo Brand, she has refused to step back over this. She's refused to recant. She thinks it's funny. And there is, you could say, well, you know, we say that politicians should be all strung up for the lampposts, or they should be lined up against the wall and shot. And you don't actually mean it. You don't mean it to be taken seriously. And I don't think Jo Brand meant it to be taken seriously. But just look at the way the left behave when the right make jokes. I mean, look at Sargon when he said that he wouldn't even rape Jess Phillips. Look at the way the BBC went absolutely mad about that. And when he said he wouldn't even rape an MP, and he got Jo Brand saying same thing, pretty much. It's a tasteless joke. And she's saying, well, I would have preferred it if battery acid was thrown over Nigel Farage, because that's who was being talked about. And the BBC think that's absolutely fine. I'm just saying that we should have some consistency here. If you're going to go after Sargon for what he said, then they have to go after Jo Brand for what she said. Now, obviously, I would prefer it if people could understand the difference between a joke and incitement, and if people were actually responsible for their actions. I mean, it's not an excuse to go into court and say, well, I hit this bloke, but somebody else told me to. You are responsible for your own actions. That's not an excuse. That is not a defence. And yet the way that our speech laws are, that should be a defence, because our speech laws say that you can actually incite people to violence. You can't incite people to violence unless people don't actually have any self-control. And if people don't actually have any self-control, then it's completely unjust to punish them and have a justice system for crimes in the first place if nobody has any self-control. So there are all these inconsistencies in the system. I mean, I've mentioned this so many times before as well. When I was a child at school, we used to be taught that sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. And we were also taught that saying that Johnny told me to do this is not an excuse, because you have your own autonomy over how you behave. You are the person that takes offence. You cannot force somebody to be offended. It's only you that takes offence. To say that people are saying offensive things, that can only be because you have decided to take offence at it. You don't have to take what they are saying seriously. You can rise above it. People are calling you names. Rise above it. You know that what they're saying is not true. So what does it matter? This is the way that we always used to be taught. Ethnic minorities now are taught completely different. They're told that if somebody calls them a name and they're offended, well, that, you know, that's the height of criminal activity there. And they are somehow a victim. But they're a victim of their own making, because they chose to take offence. And that's the way the English language puts it. You choose to take offence. And if you give somebody offence, that is only because that person has chosen to take it. I mean, they used to say insults would bounce off him as if he was made of Teflon. I can recall somebody being called Teflon Tony because of that, because insults, they would just bounce off you. And yet now we're told we should be taking offence at these things, taking offence at this, at the slightest insult, looking for insults. And if we point them out, then we are somehow seen as virtuous, particularly if it's not even us that have been insulted. And something really needs to be done about this. And just to take it back to this Conservative Party leadership contest, Dominic Raab has said we need more protections for free speech. And this is clearly what he is talking about, this sort of thing. The victim mentality, the hate speech laws that are preventing people from making just criticism of these protected groups. Anyway, I think now is an opportune time to have a bit of a break. When we get back, I'm going to be talking a little bit about Caelan Robinson and George Llewellyn John. But until then, we're going to have a little bit of music here. And this is a piece by Andreas Johansson from the Nordic Frontier podcast. This is a bit of lo-fi produced by him, and it's called Free Man. And I'll be back in 3 minutes.
or are you really a slave? A slave.
I've been thinking a lot about these questions lately, and it seems like if you live your life as a free man, you are in today's so-called modern society seen as a rebel. And not in a good way, not like in the rock songs.
Rebel.
You're seen as a rebel and as a problematic person. You're politically incorrect.
Are you a free man? Or are you really a slave? Are you one of the slaves? Or are you a free man?
But it is problematic that free men are not wanted in this so-called modern society. I'm shaking my head because I'm seeing a generation growing up who don't really know freedom. Once we were warriors. Don't ever forget that. We need to get our freedom back. If you look into your history, you will see that you stand on the shoulders of giants. And you have those genes in you. You are a warrior. And you are meant to be free. You are not meant to bow your knee, conform to stupid rules. What can you do to become a free man? You're meant to be a free man. So get rid of that mortgage and do what you want in life. Don't be a slave, don't be a sheep. Think for yourself.
Become a free man.
That was Andreas Johansson that you were just listening to there. Free Man. You can find that at SoundCloud. Now, I wanted to talk a little bit about Caden Robertson and George Llewellyn John. Now, Mark Cullett did a really good video exposing them earlier in the year. After Tommy Robinson's Panorama documentary came out that included recordings of Tommy talking to Caden Robertson over the phone. And Caden Robertson had obviously been not just talking to Hope Not Hate, but hanging out with people from Hope Not Hate, possibly having a sexual encounter with somebody from Hope Not Hate, certainly on first name terms with them. And also Lauren Southern. Lauren Southern was on first name terms with them. And they seemed to think that this was perfectly fine. Never mind the fact that they are a parallel spy agency and they have caused people to be physically attacked, lose their jobs. I mean, Tommy had somebody that had lost their job through Hope Not Hate phoning up his employers and saying, you've got a nasty racist working for you, you need to sack him or else we're going to say that you support hate and all this sort of nonsense. And they pay people to spy on nationalists, to report back to them who they are so that they can then expose them on their grotty blog that they have, which very, very rarely actually tells the truth. There's so much stuff on there that's just made up. I am convinced that they have informers that they pay, usually druggies, and these informers, because they want to get some money, they just tell Hope Not Hate, they spin them a yarn, a story, and Hope Not Hate just repeat it, because of course there's nobody there to contradict it. The only person that they've got their information from is their informer. And if the nationalist or the person on the right says, well, this story is a pack of lies, well, Hope Not Hate's not going to believe them because they're nasty racists, aren't they? So they basically have free reign to just write whatever they like about people. That's what it seems. Nasty bunch of people. What are people that are supposedly patriots, people that are supposedly on the right wing, supposedly part of the alt-light, what are they doing? Talking to hope, not hate. Well, Mark Cullett exposed this and exposed the fact that they had actually turned up to a Generation Identity meeting with somebody from Hope Not Hate, and this Generation Identity meeting, a lot of the guys there were actually physically attacked afterwards, and he warned people not to have anything to do with him. And it was rather alarming that Lauren Southern, it appears, knew about this. She knew that they were involved with Hope Not Hate, and yet she still employed them for making her videos. Now, the thing about this is, which people don't seem to be pointing out, is the fact that when Caden Robertson first came onto the scene, it was quite open that he was homosexual. He was quite a flamboyant homosexual. And homosexuals lack judgment. You can listen to interviews with Caden, and he's talking as if he knows about things, but it's quite obvious he doesn't have a clue what he's talking about. He's just bluffing it. He's just blagging it. And what's come about as quite clear from this expose is that he has no loyalty to anyone. People that you would have thought that he had respect for, people like Tommy Robinson, he's just ripped off for thousands of pounds and thousands of pounds worth of equipment. Now, this is all coming out now because Milo has, I'll give him credit for this, he's written a very good article exposing them. But Milo himself is homosexual, so this is sort of damage control for him to be exposing these two, because he doesn't want people to think that homosexuals are like this. But they are. They lack judgment. If they're the sort of people that can't work out how a jigsaw puzzle goes together, and the concept behind a jigsaw puzzle, as E. Michael Jones says, then how can we put them in any leadership positions or any important positions? They're such shallow people. The personality of a homosexual is always extremely shallow, extremely narcissistic, very vain, and they will do anything for attention. And when you have somebody that pretends to be a patriot and comes into the nationalist scene and they are homosexual, that should set alarm bells off everywhere. That because we've been brainwashed into thinking, well, they're just like us, they just like to sleep with their own kind. That's not all there is to it. That's bad enough as it is, and I've talked enough about the way that they recruit other homosexuals. It's the way that they have no loyalty to anyone that people should have been worried about when they saw him coming onto the scene. And I know I warned people about this and said, look, this guy is homosexual. He is going to be bad for the movement. And of course, he was bad for the movement. As I say, thousands of pounds worth of Bitcoin he ended up ripping off from Tommy Robinson. They ended up, Tommy had an Amazon account, and people would buy him the camera equipment that he needed to make his videos. And Caden Robertson and his boyfriend, George Llewellyn John, they bought secondhand copies of all the camera equipment on eBay, and then gave Tommy back the secondhand copies from eBay and kept the originals for themselves. I mean, this is a really despicable act. Because these guys, the only reason why they were given any attention at all is because Tommy Robinson tried to help them out. And they've shat on him from a great height, and they threatened to expose where he lived. And they did expose where he lived. And they exposed Gavin McGuinness. They told Hope Not Hate about Gavin McGuinness and when he was going to be at the airport. I mean, really, really despicable behavior that they got up to. And now they're trying to say that they're trying to do I forget his name, the chap that's surnamed Kane in America, who claims he was radicalized by Stefan Molyneux online, and now he's seen the light, and he realizes what nasty people the alt-right are. And Caden Robertson and George Llewellyn John are going to do the same thing. They've already tried to do it now. My time amongst the racists and how I've seen the light. So they had no loyalty, they had no honor, they couldn't keep their word, they were thieves. And I would say that the thievery bit is particularly despicable, and I wouldn't say that that is so necessarily linked to homosexualism, but the lack of loyalty and the narcissism and the wanting attention and just thinking about themselves and the lack of judgment, that is to do with their homosexualism. Now, there's another homosexual in the alt-right who's been in it for a long time. And I really have held back from criticizing him in the past. I mean, if people are homosexual and they're not actively homosexual around nationalists, they don't go to pride events, they don't do that sort of thing, then in my eyes, they're not actually homosexual, because it's only the act itself. It is the act that makes one a homosexual. It is a homosexual act. If somebody is not engaging in that act, then you can't really say that they are homosexual. They're obviously trying to avoid doing that, which is what people who have these homosexual urges should be doing. They should be avoiding any temptation to engage in that and trying to be normal. And obviously there are ways that work to do that, because otherwise they wouldn't have banned them. I mean, in America and in Britain, they banned gay therapy. Now, if gay therapy didn't actually work, then there would have been no need to ban it. They banned it because it does work. Now, Greg Johnson, it's quite an open secret that he's homosexual. And I've played his stuff on Radio Aryan before, because he's a very good speaker, a very good philosopher, and also because there's never been any confirmed homosexual activity about him. Nobody has said, well, I've seen him with a young boy, or I've seen him engaging in homosexual activity. And in my book, you have to have witnesses to confirm that somebody is homosexual. So I'm not having a go at the guy for that. I'm not saying, oh, he's a homosexual, we should have a go at, you know, young boys are at risk around him, he's trying to turn the movement homosexual, or anything like that. My criticism of him is in his judgment. On his Countercurrents site, he has a book on there about My Little Pony, a children's TV series. A children's TV series that, incidentally, are in the newspapers this week because they've got a lesbian character in it that they've just put in it. So the mainstream are trying to mainstream homosexuality to children as we know. So they've put a lesbian character in this TV series. And Greg Johnson has got a book about it. Now, this is a children's toy, and it's written by a homosexual, and it's called My Nationalist Pony, and the blurb says, My Nationalist Pony, Buttercup Dew's Tumblr blog on the iconic children's cartoon series, My Little Pony, Friendship is Magic, is a masterpiece of culture jamming. Buttercup analyzes My Little Pony from a white nationalist, new rightist, traditionalist, and neo-pagan perspective. It's all about homosexuality. It's from a homosexual and a pervert perspective. I mean, I find that very insulting to say that white nationalism, new rightism, and traditionalism has anything at all to do with homosexuality. Being a traditionalist means that the homosexuals are hanged. It's a capital crime. Traditionally, we used to throw them in the bog. That's in actual fact. What the pagans used to do was throw them in the bog. And yet it says here that they have a neo-pagan perspective. But it gets worse than that. Remember, this is a children's TV series. So who are they trying to appeal to? Who are these homosexuals that enjoy children's TV and enjoy collecting children's toys? Who are they trying to impress? Greg Johnson has got a comment under this blurb. He says, sadly, bronydom, even today, is far less marginal than white nationalism. My Nationalist Pony is a great example of how our message can be taken to a particular subculture. There are people who are white nationalists today because of this blog, even though they have grown out of bronydom, as has our author. We need 10,000 such projects, pushing our ideas into every nook and cranny of the cultural mainstream. So what does he mean by that? What particular subculture is that book aiming at? to me, it seems the book is aimed at paedophiles. I mean, if you've got children's toys and you're trying to appeal to people that like children's toys, that means you're trying to appeal to children. I mean, if a straight man was to write about sex and also write about children's toys and girls' dollies and things like that, you would think, well, there's pedophile overtones there. I mean, where is Greg Johnson's sense of judgment in this? If he thinks that this is the sort of people that we want to be advocating for white nationalism, we don't want people that are turned on by children's toys to be advocating for nationalism. That's a perversion. As I say, I'm not criticizing him for his sexual activities, because nobody has said, well, I've seen him with you know, having sexual activities with a man. I'm criticizing him for his judgment in thinking that this is something that should be associated with nationalism. I mean, this is pedophilia. I don't want nationalism to be advertised to pedophiles, and I don't think I'm the only person that would think like that. I mean, this is a serious lack of judgment that he is showing here. Bronydom. I mean, this is something that children are into, that he is linking with sodomy and homosexuality and claiming that this is a white nationalist perspective, a traditionalist perspective. Now, this is why I don't play any more Greg Johnson stuff at Radio Aryan. You know, I knew that he was homosexual. I'd been told that, but also there have been no witnesses to him engaging in any of that, degenerate behaviour in front of nationalists. But to have this on his blog, I mean, that's even worse, really, isn't it? Linking nationalism with pedophilia. And I'm bringing this up because we got the same thing with this Caelan Robertson and George Llewellyn John. They're homosexual. They're going to be an embarrassment to the movement. They're going to do bad things to the movement. Pointed that out. And Greg Johnson has done the same by putting this up. And of course, all the people that have written, oh, what a great book this is, they're all homosexual as well. Do we want to be rubbing shoulders with basically a gateway drug to pedophilia, people that are into children's toys as sexual perversion? I don't think we do. I don't think we do. Bit of a grotty subject there to talk about, but I think it did need to be talked about. I've got one more thing to bring up today. And this is, again, it's to do with Boris Johnson, really. There's an Iranian woman who is in jail in Iran, and she has a white British husband. And they've been making a big thing about the fact that the Iranians arrested her. Her name is Nazari Sadari Ratcliffe, or Nazani Sadari Ratcliffe. She was jailed for subversion against the Iranian state. She obviously broke the laws over there. But the British government seemed to think that she's completely innocent, and her ridiculous husband is camped outside the Iranian embassy at the moment, claiming he's going to go on a hunger strike. I don't think he's going to last more than 2 days without eating, sleeping outside in a tent. He's going to have no energy. And what does he think the Iranians are going to do about this? The Iranians are just going to laugh at him and think, what a fool you are. Does he really think that if he was in jail somewhere, that this Iranian woman would be hanging on for him and doing all she could for him? I mean, the woman is another race. And she knew what the Iranian laws were, and she's broken them. Obviously, there's some kind of law which they don't think is, you know, is against the law over here in Britain, but it is over there. You can't go to other people's countries and expect to just obey your own laws and ignore their laws, which it seems to be is what she's done. I mean, she may well be a spy. And of course, Boris Johnson, he tried to get her out, but he pointed out that when she was over there, she was giving journalism classes to some of her friends over there. But of course, she worked for the BBC, and the BBC are pushing ideas that are illegal in Iran. They don't have feminism in Iran. They don't have the promotion of homosexuality. Don't have the promotion of diversity like we have in Britain. So she was obviously pushing these ideas, which obviously they want to push them at the BBC, but they don't want them pushed in Iran, do they? And that's why she's in jail. And this ridiculous husband of hers, mooning about not eating outside the Iranian embassy, I mean, they're just going to laugh at that, aren't they? I mean, nobody's stopping him from eating. He says he's doing it in sympathy with her because she's gone on a hunger strike. Just annoys me that all this attention is given to foreigners, basically, and all these white people that are married to foreigners, and they get all the limelight. They get made out to be such great heroes when they're traitors, really. I mean, this white guy with this Iranian wife, he's got children, and he's got more in common biologically with the Queen of England than he does with his own children. Those children really are nothing to do with him. He may have sired them, but they're not made in his image. They're not made in his ancestors' image. And this is why, in these mixed-race marriages, when they split up, you don't see the brown people taking the brown kids back. You always see the white parent with the brown kids, because the brown part of the family, they don't want them. And the white part of the family, because we are a very altruistic and very charitable people, we end up taking them on. The British nation ends up taking them on. There was another half-Chinese one a while back. And the Chinese grandparents in China were looking after the Chinese children. And the white grandparents over here in Britain spent an enormous amount of money going over to China trying to get these Chinese children back to Britain. Absolute madness. Why would we want them? Why would we want these foreigners in our country? They're a threat to our very existence if they breed with white people. And if they're living in the same territory, then they have those breeding rights. That's the way it is throughout the natural world. If you are on another group's territory, you can breed with their females. Of course, they might attack you, but if they don't attack you, then you can breed with their females. Breeding rights come with the territory, unfortunately, which is why we have to keep these people out of our territory. Because once the miscegenation has occurred, and once the product of that is born, there's nothing that can be done about it. You're never going to get another descendant out of them that looks like your grandparents or looks like you. Like Prince Harry with his new child. It's going to look nothing like him. That's why they haven't shown him to the public. When they did show him to the public, they doctored the images. I watched the video of it, and they brought the infant out, and the infant was a darker skin colour than Meghan. And then they showed you the still pictures of it. And in the still pictures of it, the infant was a much lighter skin colour than Prince Harry, who had his arm next to the infant. So they doctored the still images to try and lighten it up, to try and cover up the fact that it's a half-caste, it's mixed race. And you could see the disappointment in Harry's eyes. I would be really angry if I was him, that I'd been taught that we're all the same and she's just got a different skin colour. Probably nobody ever told him that if he had a child with someone that was non-white, that it wasn't going to look like him. It would look like something completely different. The thought probably never even occurred to him. And then he was asked, "Does the child look like you yet? Who does it look like?" And he stumbled his words and said, well, they grow so fast, we'll have to leave it a few weeks before we know who they look like. It's not going to look like anyone in the royal family, is it? Because his wife is black. There's no going back once you turn black. And race mixing is definitely worse than homosexuality, because race mixing continue, the results of race mixing continue on generation after generation. That's going to be degenerated fruit of a strange vine. It's not going to look anything like its ancestors. And if it breeds with white people, it's going to destroy their genome, destroy their bloodline. So that continues on. Homosexuality at least is limited to one generation. They cannot reproduce themselves. They can recruit, and of course they recruit by molestation, and I'm not saying that all of them do that, but there is a high portion of pedophiles that are also homosexual. But I've gone into that a lot of times before, the sexual risks of encouraging homosexuality. But another one that really isn't, really should be more concentrated on is this lack of judgment that they have. The lack of judgment and the lack of loyalty. And that's why I was pointing out this book that's on Greg Johnson's site. I think that shows a lack of judgment there, to have put that there. If he's got friends that are interested in that sort of thing, that's not something that should be made mainstream. It's something that should be, well, really, it should be reported to the police for overtures of pedophilia, getting sexually turned on by children's toys. And also, I mean, because, what is that? Some kind of icebreaker with children, so that these grown men, these grown adult homosexuals, can talk to children about children's toys? It's twisted. Really twisted. And white nationalism 1.0 that often gets criticized, they learned all these things in the past. They learned that you cannot have homosexuals as leaders or as spokesmen for the movement, because there is always just going to be a scandal just waiting to happen just around the corner. And here's this scandal with Caelan Robertson. And I think this is a scandal too, the fact that My Little Pony stuff is being advertised on Countercurrents. And obviously Milo, well, he is just scandalous anyway. I tried to watch a video where he was debating people with Sargon, and the joke that he made was just so revolting and repulsive, I just had to switch it off. I'm not going to repeat it on here, but you do hear that these homosexuals are fascinated by fecal matter, and that does seem to be true. That's not natural. That's a deviance. That's a perversion. That is not something that should be encouraged, and certainly not encouraged among white nationalists. I think we'd be better off with less people as white nationalists than trying to reach out to pedophiles and sodomites, to be honest. Anyway, thank you very much for listening. I'll be back next week, hopefully with Max Musson. And of course, I do hope you'll have a great week ahead of you.
You are listening to Radio Aryan. For an alternative to the anti-white system on RadioAryan.com.